I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 59, we tackle the question, do we need more duck hunters? And we draft our favorite country artists, plus we talk about tennis balls, video games, and politics.
What's new, Nate?
What's new is that BHA's hunting gear giveaway mail letter thing showed up at my house.
Is that the official name for it, a mail letter thing?
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Is it weird that I pictured a male person, like a man holding a letter, a male?
No, I thought the same thing, non-female.
I was like, do they send those?
Interesting. No, but it so it showed up, and it's the 2018 BHA hunting gear giveaway. And they give you 12 free tickets to send back. Like, you don't have to pay anything to send these back. But they ask for, like, a donation, which is cool. But the grand prize winner gets a Cooper Firearms of Montana, which is like a custom rifle, $2,500 Sitka Gear gift card.
Let's talk First Light. Do they get First Light?
That's on the other page. Just, I'm getting there.
Oh,
getting
sorry. There. I want First Light.
This is the grand prize. This is like the grand prize, numero uno. A Yeti 110.
Iced down with silver bullets?
I don't think it comes iced down with silver bullets. That would be nice, though, wouldn't it? Second place gets a bunch of Vortex optics. Third place gets a Kimber rifle. Fourth place gets a Traeger pellet grill. Fifth place gets a Weatherby rifle, Weatherby First Light edition rifle.
I don't want a Weatherby rifle. I want First Light. I want a whole set of First Light camo.
Okay, well, you're not going to get it in this thing. You could have $250 worth of First Light stuff because that's the fifth prize.
Okay. It sounds like a pretty good deal, and it supports a good organization.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're not a member, become a member, ask them to send you this stuff. I think it runs through the end of the year.
Oh, so, really? They're doing the giveaway through the end of the year?
Bunch of cool stuff that you can win.
That's a pretty cool contest. I had a stroke. My B.
What is wrong with you?
I'm having trouble getting comfortable. Like, there's like spit on my microphone.
That's your microphone.
And it's like irritating me, and I can't get comfortable. I'm just not. I'm settling in.
Okay, you're getting in the groove.
I feel like I'm trying to get in the groove.
What's new with you, Travis?
Thank you.
I'm on top of the game today.
We're just gonna sit here for 30 minutes one week. I'm just not gonna wave my hands. I'm just gonna sit here in silence till one of you co-hosts asks me what's new.
Hey, I was on top of it today.
Nate was semi on top of it.
Save the day, thanks, Nate.
I got a cool update on pay your age. So we're up to. I told you guys last week we're at 19 bookings. We're down to 18. I had someone call me and say, hey, man, I'm getting into duck hunting anyway. Give that spot to someone else.
Oh, my gosh. How cool is that?
It's really also cool. The person whose review you made fun of last week. So,
no. Oh, my gosh. The guy who won our contest. PO'd.
So he probably did that actually to like break up with us. Like, he's like, Emily hates me. I can't go duck hunting with this guy now.
They'll
my
be back.
My wife found out about the duck call.
Yeah. But talk about embodying the spirit of what we're trying to do, getting people in the outdoors. Like, he and I spent several minutes on the phone a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to him about some of the stuff in his area and some things he could do and try. And he's like, man, I don't think this is as hard as it sounds, maybe. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of the idea, is we want to recruit some folks into it. I thought that was super exciting. And I'm not going to take credit for this, but I am going to say I'm seeing a good sea change. Is that what people say these days, a sea change?
A sea change.
Like a sea of change, like a color change, like a...
I don't know what kind of crazy Reiki vibes you're trying to throw onto this podcast.
It's not Reiki.
Take it somewhere else, you hippie.
So another guy...
This isn't 1968.
Another guy on Facebook, a friend of mine, who owns a big duck club, a Facebook friend of mine. I mean, I'm sure we would be friends, but he's somebody I know on the internet. He's an internet person. He posted on another well-known duck group and said, hey... Almost exactly a week after we posted ours, he posted and said, hey, I want to take 6 people who've never duck hunted before free on my duck lease.
Good for him.
So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see that kind of become like a little fervor thing that takes over.
It's a ripple.
A ripple effect.
You jumped in and you cannonballed in, and now there's a ripple.
If I jump in, it's more than a ripple.
it's an ocean of change.
I think that's what I said at the beginning of the segment.
No, and you said sea of change. I'm making fun of you right now.
Yeah, you have to, because he also says crazier than a sprayed bed bug.
Anyway, y'all are both being haters right now. You're sipping Haterade.
I'm not being a hater. I'd love what that guy did. That's awesome.
I thought it was awesome too.
I agree with you that I hope that it kind of creates a little ripple effect.
Did he get his six people already?
Yeah, they were doing a contest. I think they were taking, you had to pick a number. I forget how they did it, but you had to pick a number and tell why you wanted it for that person. And then they did a drawing with random numbers.
Okay, great.
Super cool. I wish I could go hunt a private duck club in Arkansas.
Yeah, me too.
Mm. The other thing that's new with me is I'm really missing fishing this week. Like, it kind of hit me this week that I haven't fished nearly as much this entire year as I usually do.
Yeah, well, you know, red tide and such.
Yeah, no, it's been a lousy year, and there's very good reasons we haven't fished as much, but it's just like that's usually something we do as a family a lot. Like, even when I'm not running charters, it's something we're on the water quite a bit, and I'm just kind of jonesing for it right now.
Me too.
Y'all should just hit up Lake Grassy one day and just catch some bass.
It's not quite the
what
same.
What are you like grimacing?
Bass are the green ones.
Maybe you could help me define.
Never mind.
This.
Forget I said anything. Or you can come to Atlanta and I'll take you fly fishing.
Would you?
For trout.
You do that? You take me fly fishing?
Absolutely.
As radios across America turn off.
I would rather go down the Chattahoochee River on a float with a beer.
Yeah.
We could also do that.
That would be
not now because it's too cold, but
oh,
you'll have to
really?
Come back in the summer to do that.
Does it get cold up there?
It was like,
you know, it's a different state.
It was like 40 something degrees this morning.
You understand, like, he's not in Orlando.
It doesn't feel that far away until you say that.
Okay. Speaking of geography, do you have a geography update? No, do you want to know what's new?
I can get, what would you like for me to report right now?
Speaking of geography, do you have a geography update?
I do. So if you're an OG listener, we have been trying to get coverage in all 50 states. We have a little metric tracker in our podcast distribution platform, and it tells us where our listeners are. And we have listeners like Russia. Okay. I don't know how they got a hold of like an old podcasting radio antenna or something, but.
Okay, Russia is not where Ivan Drago is training in Rocky IV. Like, it's changed since the 80s.
Do they have, like, electricity all the time, not rolling blackouts?
Yeah, it's like a real country. There's real people there.
Okay, well, but I didn't know, like, how technologically we are really. Anyway, in the U.S.
Wait, we just lost listeners in Russia.
We only have one state that doesn't have any listens.
Alaska?
No.
It's whoa, I forgot to look at those. But it was only one.
Well, when it's 40, hold on. Let's do some geography with Emily. This is a new segment.
How many
there's 49 states that we have and only one that we don't have and it's in the middle and it's a square. Nate, what is it?
In the middle and it's a square.
It's a perfect
Wyoming.
Square. Thank you.
Wyoming or Colorado?
Yes.
But
when you hover over the states, it'll tell you what state it is and how many listeners you have. But this is like a bug with the software. If there's no listeners, it won't tell you the state or that you have zero listeners. So the only state we don't have listeners in, I don't know what it is because it won't tell me. So Travis had to tell me. It's Wyoming.
It's Wyoming.
The end.
I know somebody who lives in Wyoming. I need to hit him up.
Yeah. And there's a challenge out there among some of our listeners. They're trying to recruit a Wyoming listener as well. So I did not realize that there's actually a game is the foot going on outside the games are the foot.
Recruiting a listener from Wyoming.
That's a thing that's happening.
So awesome.
What is new with you, Emily?
Well, I have some news for you. At the time that this episode that we're recording right now goes live, it will be 7 weeks to the day until Christmas.
What?
Boom.
And it will be November. So
are you excited about Christmas?
That's what's new. I feel a little bit excited this year.
Are you? You're looking forward to Christmas.
I am.
The Grinch has grown. Her heart has grown.
Three sizes.
I feel like the working out makes me less crazy. So I don't have as much crazy going into this season. And I'm feeling solid about
it. I've been ready to listen to Mariah Carey for 6 months.
Oh, he asked me today if we could start listening to Christmas music. Y'all, I have skulls on my mantle. Like Halloween is here.
Thank you for clarifying that it was because of Halloween and not just any old Thursday.
You just like to keep skulls.
Although I did receive some messages when you posted pictures of our ducks with the cow head in between.
Yeah.
People are like, what's up with the cow head? Why do you have a skull hanging in your living room? I'm like, that's baller, yo.
It's the coolest piece we have.
Awesome. I love that cow head.
Do you know cow head is from my Uncle Elon's?
I think you told me that.
Yeah. It's like a million years old.
It's a family thing.
It is a family thing. So that was your what's new?
Yeah, what's new?
Christmas
is
coming.
It's like the season. It 'tis the season, as they say.
I'm sure our listeners did not realize Christmas was coming, so thank you for that update.
Well, most of them are men, so I'll hedge my bets on that being an announcement for them.
Could we also just record a generic, Kevin, your anniversary is this week.
Our anniversary is coming up, FYI.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
Uh-huh.
On it.
December, is it December 11th?
November 11th.
November 11th.
Baby, wait till you see the waiters I got
11,
you.
11-11.
Nothing says, what is this year, seven? Nothing says 7 years like Bottomland colored waiters. Mossy Oak Bottom. Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
Big time right there.
Wearing nothing underneath.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Yikes. All right. I'm out. See ya.
There is a game the foot. We have not done one of these in so long. I was like, we have to do a game as the foot. We drew straws backstage before the show began, and Nate gets the first pick.
This is...
We are doing a mini draft of country artists.
And is this like of all time of the last 10 years?
There are no rules, Nate. Have you learned? We're way past the point of rules at this juncture.
All right.
All right. Well, I got to. Okay.
Well, you can't change your whole draft board now. There's people listening.
I can do whatever I want. There's no rules, Travis.
All right, Nate. Who do you got? First pick.
Okay. So most of my listening knowledge comes from the last 20 years, but I do like old stuff too. So I'm saying that just to say that the people who are like, old country is the best country. Like, you know, I hear you. I'm good.
Calm down.
Yeah. Like, there are some really good people recording today as well. But I'm going to go with, like, the guy that's I've been listening to the most recently and, like, is becoming probably my favorite artist of all time. It's Luke Combs. I love that guy.
Wait, what?
That guy is legit.
You understand you could have picked any country artist in the world.
I do understand that. I do understand that. That's why I had that little preface. That little.
But you understand how a draft works, right?
Yeah, I know. And I'm like actively regretting this decision as we go. Emily, I'm going to stick with it.
I tried to listen to Luke Combs on your recommendation, and I didn't feel a connection.
Like, you could have picked him in the 63rd round. He would have been there.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that dude is. Emily, what is your pick?
Garth Brooks is my first round draft pick.
Yes. Thank you.
Because he has to be.
That's a good pick.
I feel like that's a good pick.
That's better than my pick. I will give you that.
Like, objectively, he's the best.
Well, by certain measures.
By science. By numbers.
By science. There's no science that measures country artists.
There's money numbers and record sale numbers.
Okay. I'm good with it. I have no objections to you picking Garth Brooks. I'm not a fan of Garth Brooks, but I can't quabble with the idea that...
there's no accounting for
taste.
Is
that a word? Quabble? I'm saying it. I'm keeping it. Quabble?
Go for it.
She quabble when she quabble when she quabble when she quabble. Oh, right. What's your first round draft pick? See, we don't even want to talk to you. We just skip you every time.
You know, I was going to pick Luke McCombs. No.
Did you just try to troll Nate?
Luke Combs. Right. Yeah.
Luke McCombs. Stand down.
Everybody knows that he's going to go first in any kind of draft about country music. But since he's not on the board anymore, I'm going to make the right choice, which is not Garth Brooks. It's George Strait.
Whatever, dude.
Boom.
Yeah. Okay. I can. Yeah.
No. There is no shade you can throw at George Strait.
That's just an easy pick, though. That's
easy come, easy go.
That's not creative.
Via Con Diaz, good luck. All right, give me your second pick, Nate.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Yeah, no, I'm going to go with Waylon Jennings.
Nice.
And I'm going to flip-flop. That's actually my number one pick. Luke Combs is going to be number three, so my next pick is going to be number two.
Whoa. Does
that make sense to anybody?
No, yes. It makes no sense, and I think we need a rule now.
No, you can't just make up rules.
I think we have to make up a rule.
Yeah, this is free for all. We're just doing whatever we want.
To combat Nate just like randomly picking people.
Waylon Jennings.
This is our podcast. We do what we want.
My favorite thing about Waylon Jennings is that he sang the Dukes of Hazzard song.
Yeah, just some good old boys.
I don't know that you could remake the Dukes of Hazzard in this day and age.
No.
I think there's a lot of taboos in that movie.
They took it off TV.
Yeah.
Like, it's not on TV anymore.
I think that's gonna get thrown out of the way. Anyway.
Can I tell you my favorite thing about Waylon Jennings?
Please.
Travis's dad, my father-in-law, got Pandora on his smartphone, and he tried to type in, like, you type in a seed artist to start a station, and he tried to type in Waylon Jennings, and somehow it took him to the Waylon Jennies.
Which is not Waylon Jennings at all.
And it started a station off the Waylon Jennings, and he listened to it for a really long time.
He listened to it for a long time.
Trying to find Waylon Jennings.
And then he figured out, this is what my dad did. He figured out you could add song seeds, so he added Johnny Cash to the Waylon Jennings station.
Whoa, that's got to be a mix.
But he
man.
Kept thumbsing down the Johnny Cash songs.
Because he was looking for Waylon Jennings.
He thought it would play Waylon Jennings. So he actually added someone and then completely eliminated them from the algorithm.
That's hilarious.
I want to say Pandora needed to reach out to him.
He crashed the dude.
That's so your dad.
It's
that's
next level.
Your dad thing.
All right.
Okay, my next pick is Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
All the artists of all the time, of all the Christian
because
music.
He, before he became in our earbulbs, he was writing a lot of the songs that we were listening to. And then he let that voice out and really, I think, brought the bluesy scene back into country. And it had been kind of dormant for a while. And I think he just kind of like freshened everything up. And then he had the collaborations with Justin Timberlake, which I loved. And I think he's
okay. I love Chris Stapleton.
He's a heavyweight for sure.
Yeah. No, I agree. I love Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
Same.
See, y'all don't even have anything bad
to say. My number two pick, man, I wish Luke Combs was on the draft board. Really regretting.
I'm about to unplug my mic.
I'm really regretting everything that's happened so far because.
You did?
I'm about to.
Oh, that's what
I'm saying.
I was like,
I'm about to unplug my mic and go to bed.
It doesn't seem to matter lately. My number two pick would be Alan Jackson.
What the?
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee. It's okay. All right to be little bitty.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Alan Jackson's a great artist.
He's a great artist.
I do love Alan Jackson. But, like, I don't know if he's number two all time, though.
Don't even start.
Go
ahead and give us your third pick.
I know what
you're
about to say.
Go ahead and give us your third pick.
Remember when Travis Hatton already named Alan Jackson?
Was that an Alan Jackson joke?
It was. Remember when?
Oh, yeah. Remember when? Yeah. Okay.
He's just chasing that neon rainbow.
Let's name all the Alan Jackson lyrics. I'm going to go with a little bit of a controversial pick here.
Really? Because you know you've already picked Luke Combs.
I haven't been there yet. Yeah. I'm going with Eric Church.
Oh.
That's a great pick. I freaking love that guy.
Why do you hate America and guns?
No.
Oh,
see, I couldn't give two you know what's about any of that. He's a great artist that makes great music, and I love it. So
yes, and he's got that Wrecking Ball song, which is freaking awesome.
He does. And
love you, baby, like a wrecking ball.
Living Part of Life song. Is one of the all-time best fishing and hunting songs.
I play that one on the way to hunting and fishing almost every time I go.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Talladega.
Not a good one.
Such a good one.
Talladega's not good.
Springsteen is fantastic. I'm getting so worked up, I'm literally breaking a sweat.
All right, what is your second pick?
This is my third pick.
Third pick.
Because people are here to listen to us talk about the outdoors, and you guys are talking about Eric Church. Unbelievable. Whose idea was this?
Can I just throw Johnny Cash in the
absolutely.
Mix?
Johnny Cash is a great pick.
He scares me.
He's dead. So if you ran into him, he should scare you. Rest
what
in peace.
Is wrong with you?
Too soon? Is it too soon for a Johnny Cash joke?
His voice is like, I don't know, it scares me a little.
No, that's a great pick. One of my favorites is Johnny Cash with Nine Inch Nails. Singing Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's so big time. Okay, so it's my third pick now. Waylon Jennings got picked. I went George Strait. I went Alan Jackson. Gosh, this seems like a prime time to pick somebody like Luke Combs.
But he's off the board.
Off the board.
He was my third pick.
That's the big three. George Strait, Alan Jackson, and Luke Combs. Since he's gone, I'm going to go George Jones, the possum.
Didn't we already do him?
No. Have you been listening?
Who was the first person you picked?
The first person I picked was George Strait.
Oh, they're all the same. All the Georges, they get lined up together.
They're not the same at all.
Hand them all a Grammy and send them home.
George Jones, who sang, recorded, was probably the greatest country song of all time, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Ugh.
Written by a guy from Arbordale, Florida.
No shit, really?
Yeah. Clean it up a little bit. Listening.
George, I apologize.
Yeah, the guy that wrote that song is from Armadale, from your hometown, from your motherland.
Those are my people.
So, and I think that's the number one or number two all-time selling country song.
Outside of Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places?
No. Mm. No. Objectively, I won the draft. So you'd moved on to other things in your head.
Have you ever lost?
I will admit my God.
Nate, hold on. Somebody dial 9-1 and hold your finger over the second one, just in case.
It's that year-long stroke my parents joke with me about. But anyway, I will admit defeat on that one.
Yeah, no.
I was not as prepared as I could have been, and I suffered a little bit.
I think I had the best overall spectrum of time and talent, and all my people weren't named George.
I didn't realize that that was a criteria.
It's a plus.
It's not a plus. You can't just make up rules like that. So
what are we talking about?
Thank you.
What are we talking about today, Travis?
What are we doing here?
Nate is actually bringing us back. This is crazy. So with the pay your age duck hunts, I've gotten a question in DM quite a bit that is not, hey, will you take me duck hunting? It is, why are you trying to get more people duck hunting? Why are you trying to get more people hunting? It's too crowded already.
Somebody who's like, what kind of lakes are you taking them hunting on?
Yeah.
Is it private or public?
Yeah. For the record, that dude got blocked.
Yeah. He was a rhymes with Rick.
My page is not a democracy. It is a dictatorship.
A place safe for all Georges.
Yeah. And George people. Anyway, no, that dude got blocked. And the reason is, it didn't matter where I was taking them, public or private or anything else. Like, I just, anyway.
Yeah, the reason he asked is, he followed up and said, well, we don't need more hunters on public land.
Yes.
Which is such a Rick thing to do.
There's a lot to unpack here, but we felt like we could have a little 15 or 20 minute conversation around why we feel it's important to recruit hunters, duck hunters. I'll speak to quite a bit because that's mostly what I do, but hunters in general. And this applies to the fishing world as well. Although you have I'd say the entry points to fishing are a lot lower. You can walk out to a dock and throw a bait in, and generally speaking, right. You're there. So, Nate, do you want to kick this off? Like, what comes to your mind when you see this, when you hear this?
It comes to my mind that it's a crazy thing to think that we have too many hunters already. Because since, oh gosh, like the 1980s or 90s, hunter numbers have steadily declined. Like, it's just in the data. Like, you can look at the data, you can look at the hunting license sales and the duck stamp sales, and hunter numbers have steadily declined over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So you can't make the argument that says we have too many hunters, because it's just not the case at all.
Well, and even when we've seen upticks, they've been what a data analyst would call like a statistical aberration. You'll see an uptick for a year or so, but the trend over long term is down.
Right. It's been down. Right. It's downward trending.
Because I believe there was some data recently listed that said we had an uptick in hunters.
Yeah. No, I think over the last couple of years, it has been an uptick because of like the whole organic eating lifestyle and the knowing where your food comes from thing. And so there has been a slight uptick, especially among like women and urban people who live in urban areas, things like that,
which is what we talked about last week with Gabby.
Right. Exactly. So, but overall there is a steady decline of hunter numbers.
So it makes sense why folks think there are more duck hunters, right? Because let's unpack Florida for a second. Florida, we're adding 1,000 people a day. It's 365,000 people a year. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. We're at roughly 20, 21 million in population right now. If a smaller percentage of that population that comes in every day still duck hunts, you're still increasing the overall number of duck hunters on public land, because Florida doesn't have an abundance of private land that is duck hunting.
Right.
So the first problem we've got is we're increasing our stakeholders slowly, but not in a number great enough to impact access, which is something that's
right.
We talk about access a lot. I mean, if you don't have access, you don't have, you've got to have land to hunt or water to
right.
hunt.
Right. And part of the problem is we don't have enough land to sustain or to spread out the hunters that we have now, which is why people sit here and think, oh, I see 20 boats a day out on the water and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's the only place in that area that they can go hunt.
Exactly.
Right? But there are still people out there that say, oh, I've seen more hunters now than I have did back, 10, 20 years ago. Well, it's because access and some lakes are now unhuntable because they got houses all around them. And some lakes are unhuntable because there's no food on them. And, there's a lot of reasons, but the duck hunters go where the ducks are, and the ducks are concentrated in areas that have food and that they can feel like they're going to be undisturbed.
Right. So take Lake Okeechobee. I'm going to make this up. I don't know how big Lake Okeechobee is in relative size to, I think it's 64 miles around that lake. That's pretty close to accurate. Let's say that that lake will house and can handle 80 hunters on a given day. Right. That seems like a real number that it could handle, because there's a lot of sure. Grass and stuff out there. What it can't handle is 80 hunters on a day, 7 days a week, because there's no rest zones for the birds. There's no, it's like what you're talking about, right? There's nowhere for them to go. There's nowhere right. for them to sit. Even the biggest lake that we've got, the biggest resource we've got for waterfowling that's public, has a capacity limit. And until we can increase those capacities somewhere else, I don't know how we're going to solve this problem, because it's a vicious cycle to me, right? If you go to an FWC meeting, FWC wants to take in all stakeholder input. So you want to go talk about spraying or whatever. And I speak very highly of FWC. I think they're doing a good job. I think they're doing a great job with all the balls they got to juggle. So if you go to and for those who are out of state, FWC is our Game and Fish Commission. If you go to their meeting and you have a bunch of duck hunters that show up and they speak on it, you're always going to have more bass fishermen. You're always going to have more homeowners, because duck hunters are such a small subset of the population.
Right.
You're walking in day one maxed out. You're at the lowest you can go. Here's a dangerous proposition. A lot of guys say, well, we need to find some private land and lease it. Now, do you see any problems with that?
They don't become stakeholders in the public land at that point.
That's true.
One of the problems I see with that.
They're not. I think you and I, neither one, because we're big public land advocates, neither of us have right. any issue with private land hunting.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
No, high fence is a different thing, but private land, we have no issue with. We agree on
correct.
That?
Yep.
So if you said there's 18,000 duck hunters in Florida and all 18,000 of them, we're going to give them access to private land. They can all afford a lease now. What will happen is you can no longer recruit new people into the sport. So you've ended recruitment. So what's going to happen is you're going to see that duck hunting population dwindle continually. So there has to be a mix of, yeah, I love private land. And if any of you guys have private land and want to invite me to come hunt on it, please slide into my DMs or Nate's DMs for sure. But you can't have a situation where you only have private land. You can't have the privatization of the waterfowl
right.
or of any game for that matter. But I'm speaking mostly of what I know. So you end up with this vicious cycle. If you get more people, because as we talk about water quality in the state of Florida, we're going to see more and more water farms sprout up along the Kissimmee River. We're going to see more right. and more water farms and reservoirs being built to house all this water.
That's
what's
right.
going to land in all those water farms?
All the ducks.
Ducks.
Thank you, Emily. Glad to see you're still here. Over time, if those ducks continue to land in those areas that are privatized, we're going to lose duck hunters, which then means we're going to lose stakeholders in the sport, which then means over time, you're going to see membership in Ducks Unlimited fall off. You're going to see membership in Delta Waterfowl fall off. You're going to see engagement across the board go down if we don't do something to preserve, protect, and engage more waterfowlers in what we've got. I make a portion of my living taking people duck hunting. So
right.
I don't necessarily want to roll up to the lake on Saturday morning and have 9 people sitting in the different holes that I'm going to hunt on that lake. But I also recognize that's part of the game with public land, and you're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
So wouldn't you also see a domino, or like a, it's like a non-dominant stakeholder in it, but all of the conservation property that benefits from duck stamp sales?
Oh, for sure.
Because as the duck, you know, as they stop buying them, the money right. stops pouring back in.
So as we know, sitting here, wildlife in this country is funded mostly by hunters
and fishermen
as well. People might ask, well, why do we need more hunters? Well, the reason is because of funding. It's money. It's a money thing, and it's like it's an advocacy thing as well. So more hunters equals more license sales, which 97% I believe of license sales goes right back into the wildlife of the state. Less duck stamp sales, which helps preserve wetlands and wildlife in wild areas for ducks to land and stay.
I've got a number on that. I want to say since the duck stamp was initiated by, coincidentally, Ding Darling back in the 30s or 40s, $6.1 billion have been raised through duck stamp sales.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And so, but there's, in so duck stamp sales will go down. And then there's a thing that was passed in 1937, I think, called the Pittman-Robertson Act. And it's 11%. It's an 11% excise sales tax on guns and ammo and other hunting equipment.
Bows and arrows, stuff like that.
Bows and arrows, right, yeah. So it's a bunch of different things. But what this does is the company that sells the equipment, say we'll just use like Federal Ammo, for example. So they pay 11% of all their sales to Pittman Robertson. That money, I think 90-something percent of that money, goes straight into funding wildlife conservation in this country. And that is like a constitutional amendment. Like that's just a thing that is. Less hunters equals less money going to that because less people are buying hunting equipment, right?
Right.
And so it's just like this vicious cycle that says, I want less hunters, but I also want more wildlife. Well, you can't really have more wildlife without more hunters.
Yeah, and for our fishing audience, Pittman Robertson was so successful. What was it in 51, 52, somewhere in there that they said,
yeah,
we got to do an act like this for fishing to, and I don't even know what all gets taxed on fishing.
I'm not sure either, but it was called the Dingell Johnson Act.
It's called Dingell Johnson, and it's the same kind of thing. It pays for, and we don't see access issues on the fishing side as much, like I talked about earlier, because you, particularly in Florida, that's not an issue. Like you can go to almost any beach at some point and throw a line out, or any lake, right, boat ramp.
You can fish a lake with 100 houses on it that cover every square inch, but you can't hunt that lake because you too many houses.
Right.
Over time, I read online that the price of guns, ammo, waders, camo, everything that you need to be a duck hunter has increased. Even like decoys, they said what you could buy a dozen decoys for, half a dozen decoys costs now. Do you guys agree with that assessment, because you've been duck hunting over several decades, that things have gotten more expensive? And then how do you think that impacts hunters that want to come in?
I think it's a hurdle for people, because especially duck hunting, more than a lot of other hunting, requires more gear. It requires an exponential amount of gear than, say, like just deer hunting. So you just buy a gun at a tree stand, you go deer hunting. Or you know small game hunting, you buy like a shotgun or a 22 and you go hunting. Duck hunting has a higher hurdle to entry, I believe, and I think some of the prices probably is just inflation just over the years. I think that could attribute it to it, but I think it's also hunters are demanding and willing to pay for higher quality gear as well.
I think that too, but I also, that triggers for me the idea of gear snobbery. Mm-hmm. Like, and we've talked about this in fishing quite a bit, I think. And I think we've talked about it on the show, although we may have just talked about it in real life, because those are different things, the show in real life, although they don't always feel that way.
Good job.
But no, like the idea that you can, to go fishing, if you post on a Florida Sportsman forum or a Facebook group, hey, what reel and rod do I need? I'm a new beginner. To me, you can go to Kmart, or is there still Kmarts? There's not Kmarts anymore.
Yeah, there are Kmarts.
No, I don't think
there's
Kmart.
Like three in the whole country. But.
Yeah.
Okay, don't go to Kmart. Go to Walmart. And for, I don't know, $30, you can pick up a rod and reel and go fishing. Yeah, you're not going to be super technical. Right. You're not going to have 15 ball bearings with dual blades and all that other stuff. But you can still get on the water and go fishing. Like, and I feel like there's a snobbery among fishermen that say, oh, I know a lot more than you do. Let me tell you how well you have to do this. And I think that it's not just among fishermen. It's among all outdoorsmen, like almost like a brotherhood that says, I want to save you, Nate, from wasting $50 on this reel. So just save till you can have $150 and you can have a setup for a long time. I'm trying to save you a mistake.
Right.
But I also feel like that can have the reverse effect of discouraging someone.
Sure, absolutely.
If you're a dad and you got three kids and you've never been into fishing and you want to go fishing, it's way more economical for you to buy three of the Kmart setups than it is for you to get a Bull Bay rod and a Florida Fishing Product reel. And I love both of those products. I understand the economics of it.
Well, how many times have we seen, like, on Facebook and stuff, new hunter looking for a shotgun, what should I get?
Benelli Super Black Eagle 3.
Yeah, Beretta A400, I mean, all these $2,000 guns.
And
it's like,
Nate and I are over
here. Go get a Remington 870 for $300 and go duck hunting.
Yes.
Like, and I think when people look at that and they read these comments and they're like, oh, let me check that out. And they read it's like $3,000 shotguns. Like, whoa, wait a minute now. I don't know if I can do that. And then maybe they feel a little bit discouraged because, this guy always posts pictures with a bunch of ducks and he's got a Benelli. Well, that doesn't mean that Benelli kills ducks more effectively than a Remington 870, right? So, like, I think I think we can do a better job as outdoorsmen to try to lower these hurdles for people.
Yes.
Try to make it easier to get into it. Let's not go buy the $900 Sika waders. Let's not go buy the $200 a dozen decoys. Let's keep it simple. And then as they get more into the sport and get more involved in the outdoors, and they decide, maybe I want something a little bit different or better.
Nicer or different quality. Because
right.
Yep. We talked about the Sika waders when they came out. For someone that duck hunts as much as I do, with the warranty and everything, that makes sense. And I have a lot of friends that duck hunt 40 days a year. It makes sense for them to spend that kind of money on waders if they're going to get 5 years or 7 years out of those waders versus having to replace your waders every year or two. But if you're getting into it casually, you don't need that on day one. You can get in the water and stay dry with the Bass Pro Shops waders.
Or it's hot enough in Florida where you just get in the water.
Yeah, which is what I do during early teal season.
Right.
I had some clients look at me like, are you crazy? I'm like, I ain't putting waders on. It's 1,000 degrees out here. I'll get wet and dry off.
Wet wading.
Put my tennis shoes on and go wandering around. Also, I ain't wandering around in deep water in September.
No.
Word.
Because y'all are crazy. But no, you're exactly right, Nate. So it's the idea of the entry point going back to duck hunting specific. You made a good point. There is so much equipment that you almost... You need decoys, you need a gun, you need shells.
But, you know, going back to like the whole grassroots thing that you've kind of started with pay your age duck hunts, and then you saw somebody saying, I'll take six people who've never been hunting before. If people could start low on the equipment scale to get over that hurdle. So, okay, I'm going to get a $300 shotgun. I'm going to get the cheapest pair of waders I can find. I'm going to buy some camo from Walmart, and I'm going to hunt this season. And then they're hooked. And so the next year they start upgrading their gear. Pass your gear down to someone else to get started.
Oh, absolutely. Like I've given away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nate's got a pair of my old waders that he's patched three times.
That leak. But and I've tried to patch them and they won't patch.
Thank you, Banded.
But I do appreciate the waders. I really do.
Right.
But no, you're exactly right, Emily. The idea, the two most common questions I got through the pay your age duck hunt and the most common question I get. Okay. The number one question I get all time for duck hunting charters is, do you guys know what it is?
Do I have to have a gun?
No.
Do I need waders?
The number one question I get is, which camo do I need to buy?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That is the all time. I bet you of all the charters I've ever run for duck hunting, I bet you 60% of the people have asked me which camo they need to buy.
Just the fact that people feel like they have to buy new camo.
How many?
It's like, I wouldn't call it like an issue, because if you want to go buy new camo, go buy new camo. But like, don't feel like you have to go duck hunting. You know, regular old camo works just as good, especially in Florida. It's green all the time. So anything with green in it is going to work just fine.
My favorite shirt to wear duck hunting is a olive green Under Armour t-shirt. It's green and it blends in almost
solid
everywhere.
Solid green.
It's
no
solid
pattern.
Green. There is no camo. It's not Under Armour Hunt. It's a green t-shirt. That's the number one question I get. The number two question I get is, can I shoot ducks with a pump? Which is a misconception that's out there.
Yes.
How? How is that a misconception?
Because you got to think about this. So when you talk about putting the cookies on the bottom shelf, there's a lot of folks out there that when you talk duck hunting, everyone talks semi-automatic.
That's true.
You see a that lot of true. Semi-automatic talk. So if you go into these forums and these groups and you put some feelers out there, you get some pushback on stuff. And I bet you I've gotten that question 10 times in the last week.
And to answer that question, can you shoot ducks with a pump? I can't. I mean, you know, you've seen me shoot ducks with a pump, because I decided to switch up guns one day and threw myself all off. But that was my fault. That's not the gun's fault.
There were wood duck drakes trying to land on his barrel like it was a perch. They thought he was a nesting box.
It was bad, man. It was so bad.
I prefer to shoot with a pump.
Over the semi-automatic, you like the pump better.
I do. I don't know why. I just feel like I have better control over the firearm. Because I'm ejecting the shells, and the rhythm of it is my creation. It's not the creation of the gun automatically reloading.
The other question I get frequently is, do I need waders? That's probably the third most popular. And I tell people, if you're going duck hunting with me, you don't, but you're going to have wet feet in the boat. So I tell them, you got to wear waterproof shoes, because my boat does get a lot of water in it.
Because you forget to put something.
Because you forget to put the plug in.
How many times have I forgotten to put the plug in?
I can count at least three times right off the top of my head.
Well, and I'm sure if Tyler Pike and Hunter Jackson are listening to this, they're screaming at the radio right now.
Yes.
from an episode in early teal season where I may have gotten us stuck for a very long time. But at 4:30 in the morning, I had to turn around and go back to the boat ramp and put the plug in because I was like, this boat's running sluggish. Why isn't she just jumping up there? It's because she was full of
There's
water.
500 gallons of water in the boat.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. You know, we all have little idiosyncrasies. Mine is I forget to keep the boat floating.
What's crazy to me is that I warn people before they go out with you. I'm like, you're going to have a great time. Your life is never going to be in real danger. It might feel like it, but you're really not. And remind him to put the plug in the boat. And no one thinks I'm telling the things they need.
Oh,
to
he's
hear.
He's a U.S. Coast Guard captain. He knows what he's doing.
They're like, ah, Emily.
He's done this a million times. I have almost sunk the boat a million times.
A million times.
Can we put a bow on this? Like,
yeah. Well, I feel like the point of all this discussion is that yes, we need more hunters, because without more hunters, wildlife suffer, and when wildlife suffers, hunting suffers.
I think that's well said. I can't say it any better than that.
The other thing I'd add to it, because you hit the nail on the head, is if you have access to private land, don't quit being an advocate for public land.
Right.
Because habitat's habitat. And if there's more ducks sitting on your public lakes, there's going to be more ducks that come and eat on your private land next to it. And if you have access to private land, maybe occasionally open it up to some folks that wouldn't be fortunate enough to be able to use it. And I'm not talking necessarily about me and Nate. I'm talking about
people who've never hunted before.
Yeah. Go grab a guy from the office and say, hey, you want to go duck hunting this weekend, and let him buy his license and get him out there and let him see what this is about. Let's try to remove some of those barriers and put some of the, like we like to say, put some of the cookies on the bottom shelf. It has been low these many years since we've done a keep and release.
I know. I'm
it's
pumped.
It's been like 1 week.
No, it's been 2 weeks.
No, we did one with the... 2 weeks ago, we did one.
Did we do one?
Yeah.
No, somebody
was here.
Somebody...
Did we cut it?
Yeah, we cut it.
I think we might have cut it
because
it was
cut
long.
That left on the editing room floor.
Oh.
I feel like we're airing our dirty laundry in front of the
You think
guests.
Mommy and Daddy
Pay
are
no
arguing
attention.
In front of the children?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, no, we haven't done a keep and release in at least 3 weeks. And honestly, the natives are getting restless. Like, they're like holding us accountable. We need some keeps and some releases, because I think this is really how a lot of our listeners plan their lives, is around this segment.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to overreach, but yeah.
Well, you just did, so, you know.
Can I go first?
Yes.
Do we do releases first?
Yes.
We do.
Okay, I forgot.
I'll mention this like I do every week. Have you listened to the show?
When only under duress. So my release, I'm releasing the knots in my back.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, this is almost like a little keep in disguise, but I have neck injuries from car accidents. So we don't have to get into all that. And that's why I work out and do beach body stuff, but I've been having some pain. And so I went to my friend who's a massage therapist. She happens to have her nursing degree, and She worked me over, and then she was, let me say that differently. She
keeping it.
She massaged me, and then she was like, you really have some places you need to work on. So she had me Google basically myofascial ball therapy for shoulders. And long story short, there's these guys, Bob Shroop and Brad Hynek. They have a YouTube channel. And they are physical therapists, and they will show you how to take a wee tiny tennis ball, lean against the wall, and your neck and back will feel amazing. Changed my whole dang life.
She walks around like she's freaking Jennifer Capriati or something with a tennis ball all the time.
All the time. And I take it in the car, because you can do it in the car while you're driving somewhere, and it just releases all the little knots you have in your shoulders.
Maria Sharapova.
Yeah, you could have gone Serena Williams. I mean,
Carolyn Wozniacki.
So many directions with that.
Carolyn Wozniacki.
So that's my release. I released my knots. And I'm about to release you too if you don't straighten up about the tennis thing. So what's your release,
I love
Travis?
The tennis ball. I love that you're always walking around with a tennis ball. It's
my
one
dog
of my favorite
loves
things.
It too.
Yeah, the dog thinks she's always about to play. He's like in a constant
state of...
He
freaks out.
You're about to throw that, right?
He gets excited, yes.
My release is, this episode is dropping. Do you know what today is?
Is it voting day?
It is election day. My release is the election cycle. Thank God, we're going to get a reprieve now.
Oh, my gosh. It's the worst, man. All these political ads and stuff, people fighting all the time. It's so terrible. Although, that's just normal life now. Because
My mail lady, I talked to her the other day. I was picking up the mail. And she was like, I will be so happy when this is over. Because she's been getting later and later. Because we're getting into the Christmas season. Like, you're getting catalogs and stuff like that coming. Flyers. Most of my mail every day is political crap that you're just going to throw straight in the garbage. It's like, dude, listen, Andrew, Ron, let me save you a few bucks. Don't mail this thing to me. Like, this is not going to make or break what I voted today.
What a great campaign. What if you said to people, constituents, I promise not to mail you a single thing. I'll take that money and reinvest it. You guys, I'll put a Facebook poll out. You tell me where to reinvest it. Conservation goes to the top. All the duck hunters vote. Aye.
I don't think that's how it works.
Wouldn't that be cool if that's how
it
works?
It's a great idea. It's a great idea.
There's some holes in that plan.
I'd vote for that.
Thanks, Nate.
I'd vote for that.
That person would lose, and they would lose huge.
Nobody would know who they
were. Yeah, they would lose badly.
That's a problem.
Which is a problem.
I'll work on that.
What is your release, Nate?
My release is cold season because we're getting cooler, and we're coming into fall, and I'm starting to feel it a little bit. I'm fighting it hard, but, you know, I always get sick. I get sick like once a year. My girlfriend would tell me otherwise. She thinks I'm sick like literally all the time. But because she's like every time I sneeze, she's like, are you sick? I'm like, no, I'm not sick. But anyway, no, I'm like a little under the weather right now. And it's just now starting to come on a little bit. I'm trying to.
You're playing hurt.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're playing hurt today.
It's the beginning of maybe being hurt.
Yeah,
in the next couple of days. So,
you're a soldier. You're
I don't
tough.
Know that hero is too strong of a word.
You need to get some of that vitamin C stuff. You can
do not
snort.
Do not get that stuff. It makes you sicker quicker.
It does not.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that stuff's terrible for you.
What are you going to tell him to get a bag of M&Ms? Will that help him?
Oh, peanut. Feed a cold, starve a fever. That's what Nanny always said.
Nanny.
That and God don't like ugly. All right, let's do keeps. Emily, you want to go first again?
Yeah, I'm so excited about my keep this week. Do you have Spotify on your phone?
Yes.
Okay, do you ever just go to the browse and like kind of see whatever's new in there? Like they recommend playlists based on what you listen to, but they also have kind of curated playlists based on decade or based on genre. Well, guess what, my friends? They have a freaking 90s country music playlist on Spotify, and it is fracking awesome. I have been listening to it.
Emily just stood up at the table.
I'm preaching right now. Let me just... Trisha Yearwood, Achy Breaky Heart, Billy Cyrus, Some Gave All, Reba McEntire, Bootscootin' Boogie, John Michael Montgomery, like boom, 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 boom. Every song you're like, it takes me right back to like in the back of my mom's station wagon as like a 5 or 6 year old kid. I'm dating myself now, but anybody who's in their 30s or 40s is going to love this station. Go check it out.
Are you going to put
gonna
a link to
station.
That?
I love 90s country.
90s freaking country. So good.
Yeah. Yes. I loved it too. It was
bigger than the Beatles. Joe Diffie.
I heard that the other day.
I know. It's so good. Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Head on over to the Twist and Shout.
Yes. It's so good.
It had a Neil McCoy song, which I love Neil McCoy.
Neil McCoy.
And I love Doug Stone. It had some Doug Stone.
Is Dwight Yoakam on there?
He's absolutely on there. 1,000 Miles from Nowhere. But
man, that's a good song.
They got the Dixie Chicks on there before they got shunned by the whole 90s or country fandom.
Yes. The I just dismissed you with my eyes about the Dixie Chicks.
You did.
I hate the Dixie Chicks. But the only downside to it is it's a little Kenny Chesney heavy.
I only heard one Kenny Chesney song.
I heard three, and I think it was out to get me. I think it knew.
His best stuff was from the 90s.
Yeah.
She thinks my tractor's sexy.
That good?
Yeah,
that's the only one I can really think of. I recant my statement.
How do we feel about that?
I recant my statement. And Kenny Chesney's still terrible.
Yeah.
Moving on.
His best song from the 90s was probably Me and You, but still not a good song.
What year did She Thinks My Track? Okay. That was released in 1999.
Yeah.
I barely got the 90s.
15 years old. And very uncomfortable with the word sexy being said so many times in the car with my parents.
Yeah. I'm still uncomfortable with the word being said in the car with your parents. However, that's why I try to limit my usage of it. when we're in the car with them. What is your keep, Nate?
My keep is, I talked about a video game a while back.
Red Dead Redemption
Red Dead
2.
Redemption, yep. It is out now. Red Dead Redemption 2 is out, and I've been playing it a little bit.
Have you? Is it amazing?
It is like lived up to all of my expectations. It's great.
Let me geek out a little bit. So there's a cinematic mode.
Yep, cinematic camera.
Where if you're going from point A to point B, you can set the thing to just play for you and set the controller down right. And like derp on your phone.
Yeah,
and it's like a drone is flying around you while you're riding a horse across the open west.
And it'll like silhouette you against like this mountain landscape, and like it's just, dude, it's a great game.
But have you seen the videos online? When cinematic mode, is that what it's called? Cinematic mode?
Right.
When cinematic mode goes bad. Because there's other things that you can interact with, like wagons and trains and stuff, and your horse will just go plowing into the side of it. And I may have
you can like also get jumped while you're in cinematic mode. So if you're like just chilling and you like walk away, like I saw a comment, it was like, I walked away, I put it in cinematic mode and walked away for like 5 minutes, I came back, me and my horse were both dead. Because he got jumped in the middle of it.
I'll have to find it and send it to you or put it in the show notes. There's a great series of tweets where there are videos of cinematic mode going very, very badly.
I'm going to have to see that.
It goes very badly. But no, they say it's the prettiest video game that's ever produced.
I would agree with that.
And because, you know, remember when I told everyone to buy WWE stock and they would have all been rich and could have bought like a million Cast and Blast shirts?
Right.
But nobody did it like I told them to. I bought Take-Two stock after you told us about the game a year ago. So I paid, I think, $80 a share for it. It's up to like $120 now with the release of the game.
It's going to keep climbing because this game's going to go off.
It's incredible. It's a beautiful looking game. I'm not much of a video game guy, but it's a cool looking game.
I mean, it looks amazing. The things they can do with video games now is incredible.
All right. So my keep, I'm going last. I should let you go last. My keep is an article. The article was actually in The Atlantic, and I wanted to keep it a few weeks ago when we actually ended up cutting all the keeps. But it talks about the idea of the division in the country. Like, I released Election Day. We're all over the political cycles and stuff. I'm going to put the link to this study that The Atlantic article was based on. And it talks about how, really, there's like 6 or 8% of Americans that are the, jokingly, they call it the stay woke left. And there's like, I want to say it's 9% of Americans are the uber ultra conservative, far, far alt right. And then most of the rest of America sits somewhere in between. And so the study illustrates stuff that we all think already, that most of us are, we might be conservative, we might be moderate, we might be a little liberal, but we're generally speaking within the same, we're a lot closer to each other than those two outliers are that we hear about all the time. We always hear about
the loud minority.
That's well said, Nate. That's exactly what it is. And we always hear about the bad things that the alt-right has done. And we always hear about how upset and woke the far left is. In reality, most people aren't there. That's the people you deal with on a daily basis don't fall into those two groups. So I felt like it was refreshing to finally see some data to support that. So I'll put that link in there and do with it what you will. Just thought it was encouraging.
I agree with that, because most of the people that you come across and you actually have a real conversation with, I've never met anybody way either side, really.
Exactly. I had a lunch with a guy that I would say is opposite politically of myself, and we agreed on probably 6 out of 10 things we were talking about. And we debated about the other things, but we sat there and we had lunch and shook hands and hung out and asked how the families were, and you know what? We left and we're still friends. We're going to have lunch next week, because that's how most of the world works, right?
Right. Life is more than politics. Lord, why do I even have to say that?
This discourse over division.
Boom.
Boom. That's all I got.
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Stay woke. Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. For links to everything we discuss, like that beautiful new video game or the article about the looming crisis in duck hunting or that 90s country Spotify playlist, check out our show notes at castandblastfl.com. Just click on listen and look for episode 59. If you haven't left us a review, we would love it if you take a few seconds to go into your podcast player and tap the 5 stars. Reviews are the lifeblood of the podcast, and they help us find new listeners, which might mean more hunters. It's your own special way of supporting the sport and conservation. Leave us a review, and we'll love you forever. Later.